Spiritual world is pure, but in a material world, everyone is struggling hard to acquire different kinds of pleasures for the body. It might be more clear to state that this body is the effect of the senses. The senses are instruments for gratifying desire. Now, the sum total, body and instrument senses, are offered by material nature.
Thank you, Mata.
Now, the sum total, body and instrument senses, are offered by material nature, and as will be clear in the next verse, the living entity is blessed or damned with circumstances according to his past desire and activity.
I moved on, Prabhu. I'm just reading.
We are purport of text 21.
Then whoever gives class tomorrow can give class on verse 20. I did not see any point of not seeing anyone in front of me.
No, but I'm reading. That's
why I'm reading.
I'm reading. That's why I'm reading. Okay. Yes. So we're in the middle, somewhere in the middle of that purport. According to one's desires and activities, material nature places one in various residential quarters. The being himself is the cause of his attaining such residential quarters and his attendant enjoyment or suffering. Once placed in some particular kind of body, he comes under the control of nature because the body, being matter, acts according to the laws of nature. At that time, the living entity has no power to change that law. Suppose an entity is put into the body of a dog. As soon as he is put in the body of a dog, he must act like a dog. He cannot act otherwise. And if the living entity is put into the body of a hog, then he is forced to eat stool and act like a hog. Similarly, if the living entity is put into the body of a demigod, he must act according to his body. This is the law of nature. But in all circumstances, the super soul is with the individual soul. That is explained in the Vedas as follows. Dva suparna sayuja sakaya. The Supreme Lord is so kind upon the living entity that he always accompanies the individual soul and in all circumstances is present as the Supersoul or Paramatma. Verse 22.
Purusha prakritishto hi punte prakriti jangunan. Karanam guna sangosya sada satyoni janmasu.
Translation. The living entity in material nature thus follows the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of nature. This is due to his association with that material nature. Thus he meets with good and evil among various species.
If you want to say something, please interrupt. So I'll just read on, and then if something comes to mind and you want to express something, then please feel free. Yeah?
Well, it's quite... These verses appear to be quite condensed in their explanations it almost seems like a summary that Krishna in his verses and then Prabhupada in his purports is giving almost a summary of what has already been discussed about the body and the soul, the situation of the soul, and the relation between the body and the soul, and then the relation between the soul and the super soul. Actually, I wanted to go over it and see, because I can't. I'm a person who can't just talk in a lecture, so I was gonna ask for feedback from the others, but since I couldn't do that, then. Yeah. Well, the only way that we act is by our desire, because our actions are determined by the three modes of material nature and by our karma. So the only thing we have control over is our desire. So if we desire to do good or be in, you know, have spiritual desires, then we cause happiness. And if we desire our own sense gratification, then we cause suffering. But it's the desire that causes the suffering. That's as far as I understood it. I could be wrong, but do you yourself have any thoughts on the matter? You're on purport 20 of. Yes. The body is the effect of the senses. Well, we get the body from our previous, from the, what we desired at the moment of death in our previous life. We created a body, not just that moment. Our whole life was working towards that moment, so whatever we desired. So in that sense, what we meditated on, which we usually do by our senses, I guess, because we are so influenced by our material senses, we create our body. Yeah, the mind is, yeah. Yeah. Although sometimes it seems that we don't have much, in actual reality, we don't have much effect on what is going on. Because we are so governed by material modes of nature, even our desires are influenced by our previous actions. So then how far does it go? You know, how much free will do we actually have? And Prahlad Nanda Maharaj once compared it to a person who by their previous karma and by the three modes of material nature chooses to smoke. And the only choice he has, the only act of free will he has, is the brand of cigarettes that he smokes. So that the most gross activity is determined by our previous actions and by our meditations. But then in the moment itself, we still have, although it's very little, we still have a free will in to determine what exactly we are going to do. So, okay. Now I forgot where I was. Do you remember where I left off? I think it was 20, no. Yeah, of 22. Yes. So, purport. This verse is very important for an understanding of how the living entities transmigrate from one body to another. It is explained in the second chapter that the living entity is transmigrating from one body to another just as one changes dress. This change of dress is due to his attachment to material existence. As long as he is captivated by this false manifestation, he has to continue transmigrating. He has to continue transmigrating from one body to another. I just remembered your question about the senses, and here it said, as long as he is captivated by this false manifestation, so I guess the senses captivate us in the false sense, in the false manifestation. He has to continue transmigrating from one body to another. Due to his desire, it's a desire, due to his desire to lord it over material nature, he is put into such undesirable circumstances. Under the influence of material desire, it's always desire. The entity is born sometimes as a demigod, sometimes as a man, sometimes as a beast, as a bird, as a worm, as an aquatic, as a saintly man, as a bug. This is going on, and in all cases the living entity thinks himself to be the master of his circumstances, yet he is under the influence of material nature. How he is put into such different bodies is explained here. It is due to association with the different modes of nature. One has to rise, therefore, above the three material modes of nature and become situated in the transcendental position. That is called Krishna consciousness. Unless one is situated in Krishna consciousness, his material consciousness will oblige him to transfer from one body to another because he has material desires since time immemorial. But he has to change that conception. That change can be effected only by hearing from authoritative sources. The best example is here. Arjuna is hearing the science of God from Krishna, the living entity. If he submits to his hearing process, the living entity, if he submits to this hearing process, will lose his long-cherished desire to dominate material nature, and gradually and proportionately, that's also very interesting, proportionately, as he reduces his long desire to dominate, he comes to enjoy spiritual happiness. In a Vedic mantra, it is said that as he becomes learned in association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he proportionately relishes his eternal blissful life. For me, that raises questions about mercy, because it says proportionately, in proportion to how much we surrender, in proportion as how much we learn in association. To that proportion, we will relish eternal blissful life. So, if it's such a balance of this much we are progressing, then that much we will... this much we will hear, then that much we will progress and we will learn. But then I thought, yes, but to hear, we also need mercy, because... there are so many living entities out there who don't hear, who don't have that opportunity to hear, and they don't know where to hear from. So for that, we definitely need mercy. We need to receive his... what's it called? Without cause? Causeless. Text 23.
Upadrashta numantacha bharta bhokta maheshwara paramatmeti chapyokto dehismin purushah para.
Translation: yet in this body there is another, a transcendental enjoyer, who is the Lord, the supreme proprietor, who exists as the overseer and permitter, and who is known as the Supersoul. Purport. It is stated here that the Supersoul, who is always with the individual soul, is the representation of the Supreme Lord. He is not an ordinary living entity. Because the monist philosophers take the knower of the body to be one, they think that there is no difference between the Supersoul and the individual soul. To clarify this, the Lord says that he is represented as the Paramatma in every body. He is different from the individual soul. He is para, transcendental. The individual soul enjoys the activities of a particular field, but the Supersoul is present not as finite enjoyer, nor as one taking part in bodily activities, but as the witness, overseer, permitter, and supreme enjoyer. His name is Paramatma, not Atma, and he is transcendental. It is distinctly clear that the Atma and the Paramatma are different. The Supersoul, the Paramatma, has legs and hands everywhere, but the individual soul does not. And because the Paramatma is the Supreme Lord, he is present within to sanction the individual soul's desiring material enjoyment. Without the sanction of the Supreme Soul, the individual soul cannot do anything. The individual is Bhokta, or the sustained, and the Lord is Bhokta, or the maintainer. There are innumerable living entities, and he is staying in them as a friend. The fact is that every individual living entity is eternally part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, and both of them are very intimately related as friends. But the living entity has the tendency to reject the sanction of the Supreme Lord and act independently in an attempt to dominate nature. And because he has this tendency, he is called the marginal energy of the Supreme Lord. The living entity can be situated either in a material energy or in the spiritual energy. As long as he is conditioned by the material energy, the Supreme Lord, as his friend, the Supersoul, stays with him just to get him to return to the spiritual energy. The Lord is always eager to take him back to the spiritual energy, but due to his minute independence, the individual entity is continually rejecting the association of spiritual light. The misuse of independence is the cause of his material strife in the conditioned nature. The Lord, therefore, is always giving instructions from within and from without. From without, he gives instructions as stated in the Bhagavad Gita. And from within, he tries to convince the living entity that his activities in the material field are not conducive to real happiness. Just give it up and turn your faith towards me. Then you will be happy, he says. Thus, the intelligent person who places his faith in the Paramatma, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, begins to advance towards a blissful, eternal life of knowledge. I find the first part, the first paragraph of the purport quite interesting, because we say it quite often, you know, everything needs to be sanctioned by the Lord, but, even every desire needs to be sanctioned by the Lord. Do you have any thoughts on that? Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an yeah. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, it's sometimes well, sometimes sometimes I assume I understand, but then when indeed you look up the word sanction, which usually, you know, it's quite a common word, but as speaking English as a second language, I should look up words even in a dictionary to see what the varieties of the meaning. Oh yes. Yeah. Etymology means it means the background, isn't it? Or yeah. Uncanny? Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's almost like the Gita itself. It goes much deeper than, you know, at first glance. It's many of the words have a more specific meaning. Okay, shall we do one more and then allow the kirtan ears to come in? Unless you had something else? Yeah. That's something I cannot really conceive of yet. It's something in glimpses. Yes, Krishna is my friend. He's my dearest friend. He's always there. But to realize that, yeah, it takes a special kind of insight. Because there's some awareness as devotees we naturally have that, you know, after some time, okay, you realize, yes, okay, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he's in my heart, he's present there as Paramatma. But to actually realize that, Text 24. Ya evam vetti purusham prakritim chagunai saha sarvata vartamanopi nasa bhuyo bijayate. Translation. One who understands this philosophy concerning material nature, the living entity, and the interaction of the modes of nature is sure to attain liberation. He will not take birth again here, regardless of his present position. Wow, that's quite powerful. Purport.
clear understanding of material nature, the supersoul, the individual soul, and their interrelation makes one eligible to become liberated and turn to the spiritual atmosphere without being forced to return to this material nature. This is the result of knowledge. The purpose of knowledge is to understand distinctly that the living entity has by chance fallen into this material existence. By chance. By his personal endeavor in association with authorities, saintly persons, and a spiritual master, he has to understand his position and then revert to spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness by understanding Bhagavad Gita as it is explained by the personality of Godhead. Then it is certain that he will never come again into this material world, into this material existence. He will be transferred into the spiritual world for a blissful eternal life of knowledge. This is quite mind-boggling to me in some ways, because he stresses gyan, understanding. And it doesn't... In this particular purport, he doesn't go into bhakti. He talks about understanding, about knowledge. It's on purity. Yeah, no, I think, yeah. Yeah, compartmentalize. Yeah, I was also thinking knowledge here, when Prabhupada talks about knowledge, it's not the mind thing, it's not the brain thing. It's because he says one has to by his personal endeavor in association with authorities, saintly persons, and the spiritual master. He has to understand his position and then revert to spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness. And, this already excludes quite the because the association is stressed so much, and it's so easy to take things out of context. Like for example, if you would only focus on this purport, you could quite easily misunderstand what he means by knowledge, because knowledge doesn't mean just something theoretical. It means that with your whole being you understand that we have fallen from into this material existence, and that Krishna consciousness is the goal, that we have to get into that. And then Krishna consciousness means bhakti. So it is there, but to some people who would only read this, it might be more hidden. It can be very simple, yeah. It's part of a package. Yes. Well, yeah.
Yeah, that's why, you know, we should see it in the context of the whole chapter as well, you know, not just sentence by sentence, or, you know, take things out of context. Okay, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.